Welcome to the Hope United podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today.
Well, this is that time of year, Christmas time, when we get to get presents and wrap presents and put them underneath the tree in anticipation for Christmas or Christmas Eve. How many people like that? And so, oh man, I guess we had the Christmas people in last service. How many people like the Christmas season? So we have this expectation that these Christmas gifts are underneath, and we're going to have this moment where we unwrap them and we exchange them. But I want to tell you today that there is actually a gift exchange that's going on all the time in the spirit between us and God. So whether you realize it or not, there is going on, or the opportunity for this to actually happen in your life. It's called the gift exchange. So today I want to talk to you about the gift exchange. Because in the kingdom of God, we're always making an exchange with God. You give him something, he gives you something in return. And it's powerful to realize you can experience one of the most important and powerful things about Christmas every day. Every season of your life, you can experience this exchange with God. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I've been disappointed by what was underneath the tree. Have you ever been, unwrapped it? It wasn't Pastor Corinne's gift, by the way. But sometimes when you unwrap the gift and you're just like, you wanted something a little different or whatever. But whenever you make an exchange with God and you enter into this gift exchange with God, you're never disappointed. And by the way, you can never outgive God. You can come with whatever you think is the most awesome. It's a sacrifice. It's something thoughtful. It's from your heart. It's the best part of you. And God is still going to blow your gift out of the water. And so this is what's so incredible about what we're talking about today with the gift exchange. Now, in our house, we have something. It's a game. And I call it, I don't know what everybody else in our family calls it, I call it the first gift game. And this is where you try to see who can get the first gift under the tree. Okay? It is a game, and I'm going to be honest, I'm pretty good at this game. Okay? I'm not bragging, but I don't lose much. And so we're going through the process, and we're getting the tree ready, we're putting up the ornaments, all the kids are there, we're working, Ariella's taking ornaments off of the tree, and we finally get it all done, and Esperanza disappears into her room for like 5 minutes, comes out, throws a gift underneath the tree, and is like, bam, mic drop. And I'm like, I don't know, because the game first started, it was just me and Pastor Corinne, it was just who could get the, evidently somewhere along the line, the kids started playing, and I lost this year. But it got me to thinking that with God, he always gives the first gift. Even when you think that you've given the first gift, that you've given more or you've given something, you've beat him to the punch, no, he always gives the first gift. Let's go to 1 John 4:19. I love this. It says, we love because he first loved us. So that's right, before we even had the opportunity or understood that it was something that we should do, God already loved us. He's like, boom, the gift was already there. And it's like, oh, you've ever shown up to the party and you didn't get a gift and you were supposed to, but you showed up without a gift. That's how it is with us sometimes. He always gets the first gift. Romans 5:8 says it like this, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So that's before I even knew I was supposed to get a gift for him. I was oblivious. He got me a gift. There's a gift exchange going on, and I didn't even know it was going on, and I already received a gift. The free gift of Christ dying for me. So this exchange is happening. While we were still strangers, he redeemed us. He saved us. He always gives the best gifts, and he always gives the first gifts. So this month, I want to talk about the gift exchange. what it looks like, what it could look like, what it should look like between God and man, between God and us, the gift exchange. And since we're getting in the mood for Christmas, let me take you to Matthew. And we'll talk a little bit about the story when Christ was born. Matthew 2, 1 through 2, it says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. Everybody say that with me. Worship him. Now, if you don't know, worship is code for gift exchange. If you didn't know, in the Bible, the word worship actually is code for gift exchange. They were saying, where is this newborn king? Where is this amazing thing going to happen and transpire, this historic event, so we can come and exchange, make an exchange with God? And by the way, worship, anytime you see it, that's actually what's happening. I come and I give him my worship, and he gives me something else. Sometimes I don't even know what I'm going to receive. But I'm giving him my worship, or I'm magnifying him, I'm giving him praise. And I got a few different gifts I can give him in different ways, but God gives me something that is exactly what I need in that season. So you might walk into worship and maybe you're broken and you have an Isaiah 61:3 moment. It says, to all those who mourn, he's going to give you a crown of beauty for ashes, joyous blessings instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. Isn't that awesome? Sometimes the gifts don't even make sense. We're giving him... He's given us beauty, we're giving him ashes, right? He's given us blessings, we're giving him mourning. We're given praise, he's given us festive praise, joy, and we're given despair. Maybe it's you're at a good place today. Romans 12, 1 through 2, this is for you. It says, therefore I urge you, dear brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of this exchange, how this whole thing works, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is what? Your true and proper worship. This is the true and proper gift exchange. It's about to happen, right? Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. So I give him myself. This is my gift. My gift is myself. I'm giving him a living sacrifice gift. And in return, he's giving me insights on how to please him and how to be successful in the purpose that he's given me. Insight, revelation, that is the gift. It's an exchange, another exchange that's happening. So I'm offering him something. He's giving me something back. Psalm 34, 3 through 4, this is what David, an exchange that he highlights. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Boom, a gift for God. And let us exalt his name together. Boom. Another gift. I sought the Lord. Another gift. Watch this. Two gifts God gives. And he heard me. How many want God to hear you? Boom. He gave him worship. He gave us that he's hearing us. And he delivered me from all my fears. Wow, isn't that important in this day and age? He heard me. He delivered me from my fears. So there's always an exchange happening in worship. And in the spirit, God is always wanting to make a gift exchange with us. So we understand that about worship. Worship is a gift exchange. So let's go back to our story, right? The wise men. 2,000 years ago, they're traveling from the east to worship, to make an exchange with God. And it's a long journey, right? It's... was at least months, but maybe longer. Anywhere from, depending on where you set the original destination point, anywhere from 400 miles to 2,000 miles on camel. So it's long. Going through the desert, going through wildernesses, right? So it's cold. It's uncomfortable weather. But it's a highly anticipated historic event. And they have a historic gift, and they are chosen out of all mankind. The wise men are chosen to give a gift and be there on this historic night. And can I tell you something about when God makes an exchange with us? There's nothing ordinary when it comes to God's exchanges, to God's gifts. He doesn't do anything like normal. Everything he does is epic. Everything he does is amazing. Everything that he does is historic, is life-altering. So when the wise men realize what they're getting into, they say, we have to give God our best. If God is giving us, and we know God is going to give, he's giving mankind something that is amazing. It's life-altering. We have to bring our best. Matter of fact, they spend countless hours planning out this trip and thinking about what exactly they're going to bring as a gift. Countless hours poring over maps and the stars and the prophecies and what they're actually going to bring. And they settle on what? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which was the best and most appropriate gifts that they could find. Things fit for a king. They were thoughtful, they were heartfelt, and they were costly. The wise men's gifts were this. And listen, if you want to learn something from the wise men, write this down. The gifts that they brought were thoughtful, they were heartfelt, and they were costly. See, I want to understand what the wise men were doing that got them in the room with Jesus. I want to understand what, out of all of mankind, anybody that God could have chosen to be in the room, why did he choose these guys? They did something. The way that they processed, the way that they understood this, they were thoughtful, they were heartfelt, and they were costly. They spent lots of time thinking about this. It was from the heart, right? And it was costly. And so we have to ask ourselves, why were these guys chosen? Why? I believe because they had an advanced understanding of what was going on at that night. They had an understanding, they had a revelation, they knew something that their peers did not know. The wise men had revelation, obedience, and sacrifice. Get this. They had revelation. First, to take part in a gift exchange with God, first you got to know that you're even in a gift exchange. And you got to know the rules of the gift exchange. You got to have a revelation. Number two, then you got to have obedience. Now that I know what's going on, my heart has to be in a position that I'm like, I'm ready to do this. I want to do this. Let's do this. They had revelation, they had obedience, and they had sacrifice. It took a sacrifice. It took a sacrifice to leave, listen, their homes, their palaces, however you see it, however you read it, the comfort of whatever they were living in, which was nice, to take a long, arduous journey. That's a sacrifice. That's a sacrifice to, again, make a sacrificial gift. Revelation, obedience, sacrifice. What can we take away? What can we understand from what the wise men were doing? What can we understand about this gift exchange that we can enter into with God? Number one, we have to have a revelation. That's why we're talking about it right now. What does God's word say? What can we understand about it? And then after this sermon is over and we're going home and we're thinking about it in this season, obedience. How do I obey the revelation? And lastly, what is going to be required of me? What do I need to sacrifice? And sometimes we get caught up in this silly question, our silly thought process, rather, which is, well, these guys were on a different level, right? Some people even called them kings, you know, because they were so well off. Where am I and what do I really have to bring to the table that's significant? I'm not bringing gold. I'm not bringing frankincense or myrrh. I'm just, you know, I got what I have. Is that really enough? Had a great dinner last night with two great friends, and we were talking about, you know, starting where we start, helping people on the level that we're at, and of course we're doing big things and they're doing big things right now through their foundation, but It didn't start that way. It started with something small. And we were having a great conversation after Thursday night about how the wise men got to the place that they were actually able to give gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This wasn't their first time giving. You don't get to that level of giving gold away, frankincense, and myrrh, and it's your first time. No. That's a lifestyle of generosity, where you're generous and God bumps you up to the next level, and then you're generous again and God bumps you up another level, and then you're generous and God bumps you up another level. It's a lifestyle of generosity. So don't ever say that what you have to give doesn't matter. Because I want to give you a different perspective. They could have said, well, why do we need to even bring anything? Because the real gift is what God is giving to humanity. We just need to show up and be in the room. But that's not how the gift exchange works. We are responsible to bring a gift. And God brings a gift. And so what happens with these guys is this. It didn't seem like much. So if I just tell you gold, frankincense, and myrrh, it seems like a lot, right? Just the gold alone, you're saying, yeah, that's a gift. But in comparison to the gift that God was giving mankind, it's pretty puny, right? But you see, everybody was getting a gift. These wise men were getting a spiritual awakening and the gift of redemption. Mary, Joseph, Jesus were getting the provision that would take them and help them sustain themselves for the first 2 years, maybe more, of Christ's life. So something in the wise men gave the critical provision for the beginning of the mission of Christ. His earthly mission, the beginning part of it, was funded by these wise men. Now, yes, did they receive more? Absolutely, infinitely more. But what they gave was critical to the mission. So this is the thought that I want to give you today, is what you have inside of you to give is critical to the mission. It's critical to the mission to build the kingdom of God, to build someone else up. The gift that you have inside of you is critical. It may seem small to you, or in comparison to the need, or in comparison to what you're getting in return, it might seem small, but it's important. Look at someone and say, it's important. There are gifts inside of you, and we give spiritual gifts. We give financial gifts. We give gifts of our time and our prayers. We give the gifts inside of us are necessary and needed in this gift exchange. You might feel like your gift is insignificant, but it's important because God is a giver and He wants us to be givers too. God is generous and He wants to show us how to be generous too. It's really interesting. You can look all the way back into the Old Testament and you can see God is very specific about giving. And like even when He said, okay, when you choose a sacrifice, you choose an offering to bring to me, He said, don't give me the lamb with one eye that got hurt or got maimed. Don't give me the one that's kind of mangy with the fur on the side. No, give me your best lamb. Give me your best lamb. And in return, I'm going to give you my best. See, whenever we give less than our best, we mess up the gift exchange. Because the deal is this. You give me your best, and I'm going to give you my best. And so whenever, and I think we've all been guilty of this at one time or another, we want to give, man, I didn't, like, why, I got all these lambs, I got all these sheep, why don't I just give the one that's kind of unsightly, the one that I just don't like, it don't act right, it's running off, causing trouble, let me give that one to God. God says, no, that's not how the exchange works. You give me your best, and I'm going to give you my best. And maybe your best doesn't seem like much, but when you give your best, it unlocks something powerful. Gifts, write this down, gifts unlock gifts. Some of you are waiting for something to be unlocked in your life. You're waiting for a miracle, a breakthrough. You're waiting for the next level, whatever it is that you're waiting for. But you need to understand, gifts unlock gifts. It's like being at the Christmas tree and not realizing that it's your turn. It's your turn to give. Now, if we don't have rules around our Christmas tree, it gets crazy, all right? So at some point, people are going bonkers, and we say, okay, stop. Esperanza, you go. You open a gift. Then Christian, you open a gift. Then mommy's going to open a gift. Then I'm going to open a gift. Ariella's going to open a gift, and we start all over again. Whatever the order is, there's an order to things. Well, in God's kingdom, in the spiritual realm, there's an order to things. There's an order to the gift exchange. And so it's not like, God, just give me all the gifts right now, and sometime in the distant future, I'll give you some gifts. When you bless me with $300,000, then I'm going to give you $30,000. I'm going to give you $50,000. I'm going to be generous. No. God says, give me your best now, and I'm going to give you my best. And then guess what? Your best will, you'll have something even better. And it, God says again, give me your best now. And then he gives you something even better. But it's the gift that unlocks the next gift. And that's what's so exciting. That's what makes the spiritual journey like Christmas every season. We have the opportunity to operate in Christmas, the best part of Christmas, every season, spiritually, because we can give, we can receive, we can exchange gifts with God, and he's always looking to give us something better. There's a gift that you have, there's a gift that I have, there's a gift that we have corporately to give, and there's gifts that God is excited to distribute among us. Sometimes we don't realize that God is sitting in that exchange moment with us, waiting for you to give that little thing that you got in your hand that you won't let go of so he can give you the next major blessing. And it's sad sometimes we leave gifts underneath the tree because there's something in our life we're not ready to turn loose of yet. God, I want your best, but I'm just not sure if I'm ready to let go of this portion of my life. And here's the uncomfortable thing about God. He is going to give you bigger and bigger and bigger gifts, but he's going to require bigger and bigger and bigger sacrifices. That's the only way. That's the only way it works. That's the only way that God works with us. A little bit of sacrifice, little gift. More sacrifice, more gift. Total sacrifice, total blessing. Sometimes we're at that place of revelation and we've got a revelation or a partial revelation, but we're just afraid to move to the next level, the obedience level. That's the hard part, right? A lot of people, they know the word. They listen to the word. They can tell you back and forwards how it works. But do you stick the key in the car and actually take the car out for a drive? Many times we're afraid. I'm not sure if this thing is going to work, the thing in the Bible about the exchange and the seed and the harvest. And that. I'm not totally comfortable with that because what if it doesn't work for me and what if I'm in lack at the end of the day? And so I'm not making a heart decision or a spirit decision. I'm making a strictly logical decision. And if I put the wrong stuff in my logic, I'm going to be thinking the wrong way. God is waiting there to give you the next gift. But you got to be ready to turn loose what you have. There's that old monkey trap. And that monkey puts his hand in that jar and he closes his fist. And he can't for the life of him get his fist. Can't get loose because he won't open his hand. And God is standing there saying, man, if you only understood what I'm trying to pour into your life. I want bless you. I want to increase you. I want to upgrade you. I want to take you to the next level. I want to show you the higher level of the gift exchange. But we're like, no, God, let me just stay down here. This is where I'm comfortable. Let's just stay right down here, small gifts. That's what I'm comfortable with. But God is saying, come up higher. I want to stretch you. And that's the uncomfortable thing about God is he stretch you here, and then he'll say, okay, you got that? All right, come on over here. I'm going to stretch you here. You got that? Now we're going to go even higher. Come over here. Because God is a generous God. He'll stretch you in ways you never thought you could stretch. Pastor Corinne and I got to the point where we were giving away cars. And it's exciting. It's exciting because there's a gift exchange going on. And not every Christian takes advantage of it. A gift exchange that God is doing between us and mankind. There's gifts that I have that are unlocking things in my life and at the same time unlocking gifts in other people's lives and at the same time unlocking gifts in the kingdom. Spiritual gifts are like exponentially powerful. Like you could give one powerful gift, one significant gift, and it open up all these doors. There was a prayer service. Where's Johnny? I like to look at Johnny when I tell the story. There was this prayer service. We're praying, and I had saved up my money, and I purchased this, the most expensive keyboard that I've ever purchased. It was not $2,000. It was $2,100. It was very special to me. People were not allowed to touch the keyboard. Don't look at the keyboard. No, I'm the only one that, you ever had something like that? You're like, nobody can touch it. It's mine. It's mine. And we were in a prayer service and God said, give your keyboard to that person. Give your keyboard to that as another musician in the church. And I can only say this when it only took a moment to know I wasn't going to get out of that. I was like, oh, I don't want to give this up. When I gave it up and I released it, man, the doors that God opened up in the musical realm for me in the next season. Yes, I was blessed financially, but I was blessed musically. Every gift that God calls upon us to give has a purpose. And gifts unlock gifts. And I know it's not easy. Listen, I'm not saying it's easy. When I was in the altar and God said, give away the keyboard, I started crying. And I don't know if it was the right tears, but it was some tears. But God was saying, come up to this level. I didn't give away a car yet. That was just a keyboard. That was keyboard level. Come up to this level. I want to make an exchange with you. Come up to this level. I want to make an exchange. Think about how powerful that is. God wants to make an exchange with us. Who am I that he is mindful of me? But he is, and he cares about the condition of my heart. And where my treasure is, there my heart is also. So God, I'm laying it on the altar. I'm willing to lay whatever it is on the altar. Because I want to make an exchange with you. I know it's not easy. But you know what's so great? God is a God of mercy. And he's patient. He's patient with us. He says, I hope you get this today. This is what I have for you. But if this is where you're at, I'll give you that. So many Christians, this is what they settle for because this is where their faith is. But God is saying, come up here. I want to give you a bold faith. I want to awaken something in you and take you to a place of exchange that you've never known before. I was in the car with my son, and I'm always trying to teach him to be a preacher. I know it's probably, you probably expected that. And I said, buddy, he wanted to, instead of stay with his abuela, he wanted to stay with us and go to church with us. So it's like, you know, I love that type of stuff that he wants to go. He wants to come early to church. So I said, buddy, I'm talking about money today. I said, and when you talk about money in the church, it's kind of difficult because sometimes people get upset or people get offended. But I was saying, but it's important that we talk about money because it's in the Bible and God wants to bless us. And there's some things that we just will never understand or will never be able to walk fully in unless we talk about them and we preach about them. And it's so important that I can't not talk about it because there's an exchange that God wants to make with us. And so I said, so what do we do, my young preacher? What do we do? When we talk about money, we use wisdom and we have the Holy Spirit. And we pray that people don't get offended by the powerful principles in the Word of God that can change your life. Literally alter your course. And you do your best not to offend somebody, but at the end of the day, if somebody gets offended, I'm sorry. I would rather risk it that you get this blessing. I would rather risk it that you get this revelation. And maybe if you're upset, you'll forgive me and we'll hug after service and pretend like I didn't say anything. But maybe, just maybe, you'll get this. And let God completely revolutionize and take you to the next level of where he wants to take you. God says, you got to be like me. I'm a giver, for God so loved the world that he gave. He wants us to be like him in his likeness, in his image. Understand, we're making an exchange with him today. Let's bow our heads. God, thank you, Lord, that you're touching and you're stirring us up, God, to be bold in this season. God, whatever level that we're at and whatever level of exchange that we've experienced in our life, God, that we would stretch and we would go beyond and say, God, help me be generous like you. I don't want to be something that you're not, but God, let me understand generosity like you understand it. Let me be a giver like you. I want to be more like you. I want to be in your likeness. I want to be in your image. And whatever this world has put on me and thoughts and ideas that are contrary to the likeness and the image that you're wanting me to be in, God, help me get beyond that and get back to the likeness and image. Because God, that's the life you want me to live. And you've got amazing gifts in store for me if I'll just be willing to let go of what's in my hand. When you request it, it's whatever that you're saying, not what somebody else is saying, but what you're saying, what you're putting in my heart, that I would be courageous and have enough faith to give that. God, thank you for this season and this, what this season represents. It represents the greatest gift exchange ever. When you gave us Jesus, and it was a game changer. And it still is a game changer. God, show us the gifts we need to give to unlock the doors that we need to unlock. I thank you for that. And maybe you're saying, Pastor, I'm at a place right now. I've kind of drifted from God, and I hear what you're saying about giving, and I'm with it, or I'm trying to get with it, but I need to make sure that I'm right with Jesus before I leave this place. I want to tell you, God loves you so much. He sent his son to die for you. He doesn't want you wondering if you have a relationship, wondering what the level of relationship. He wants you to know that you are sure and confident. If you're not confident in your relationship with Christ, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are. I want to pray with you today. Amen. 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 If you slipped up your hand, I want you to say this prayer with me. And everybody, you can say this with me. Jesus, thank you for the incredible gift of dying on the cross for me. I receive that gift. Thank you. Jesus, I'm sorry for all my sins, all my shortcomings, all the times I failed. Help me. Forgive me. Wipe away every fault and bring me close to you. I need you to walk with me, to teach me how to live a life like you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give God the praise.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this message, make sure to like and share. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, share hope with someone today.